I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know.
VAR are checking for a possible offence by the goalkeeper.
That's from the end of Thursday's Women's World Cup match between Scotland and Argentina, and that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed via Skype and by the Washington Post's Jerry Brewer. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Shireen, take it away.
So one of the things for everybody following the Women's World Cup that, you know, despite the gong show that we know FIFA is, we expected some level of normalcy and consistency, but we didn't get that. We got video assisted referee technology. And what that's basically done is destroy the hopes and dreams of many. It's actually completely messed up the technical structure and rollout of how goalkeepers actually move. So I want to just throw this out there that we know that the football goddesses are blessing us with incredible plays and lots of fun, but they're also completely frustrating us to no end with this idea that goalkeepers cannot come off their line when goalkeepers, in fact, are trained to move as soon as someone takes a shot. This rule was implemented 6 days before the Women's World Cup started. And many of the teams didn't actually have time to train their goalkeepers. Lee Alexander's face and even Karen Bardsley, England's goalkeeper, coming out and criticizing the whole thing is just reflective of really how we feel about these types of rules that are, in fact, just using the Women's World Cup as a guinea pig for the men's game.
Anytime you have that level of technological influence, it ruins the game. It should be a judgment call. Too often, I think we want to get everything perfect instead of just putting the onus on the officials, the referees, the challenge it is for a goalkeeper to stop a goal in that situation is just so incredible. And now you're just adding an extra layer of complication to it. That's disappointing to me. And I think there's a lot of issues that come with opening that Pandora's box and allowing technology to interfere with the game.
This is what I don't understand. VAR was introduced in last summer's World Cup in Russia, and it went sort of okay. But the technology and this goalkeeping rule, they're not being applied the same way in the Women's World Cup. And I really can't figure out why the change. Shireen, I know FIFA isn't exactly known for making good decisions, but is there any indication of what's behind this one?
I read a piece by a colleague named Jess Kasouf at The Equalizer, and he rightly pointed out that this is, in fact, something that's used to test. I was in Paris. I saw a couple matches. Many times I saw the goalkeepers getting called on this. It is antithetical to the way that goalkeepers are trained. Like, I'm the mother of a goalkeeper, and I can't imagine adding this type of stress. It's going to prolong shootouts. It's going to ruin the effect of the game, not to mention totally killing my live tweeting of the matches.
And that's important.
Critical.
Jerry, what do you have for us?
Well, LeBron James has a new superstar teammate. His name is Anthony Davis, also known as the Unibrow. But more than that, Anthony Davis is probably the most complete big man in the NBA. And so now the Los Angeles Lakers, they haven't made the postseason for 6 straight years, which is a team record. Now they are making a real power push to challenge the Toronto Raptors. The Golden State Warriors out west are injured, and Kawhi Leonard is not guaranteed to come back to Toronto. So a lot of people are thinking, is this the time that the Lakers take over the league once again?
Shireen, what do you think?
I didn't understand, Jerry. I thought he said Kawhi wasn't coming back to Toronto, so I'm just going to block that out.
I said might not. He's not guaranteed.
But I think the Raptors winning has really shaken up a little bit of what we think teams and glorious pairings and trios look like. So I'm here for it. Absolutely. Like, I mean, I'm here for all of the shakeups and seeing where everybody ends up. It'll be interesting to actually see the rollout, because sometimes teams have chemistry that we don't necessarily think will be successful. And then look what happens.
I mean, am I the only one who's sort of thinking of off-the-court issues when it comes to the Lakers organization, though? We heard reports of employees having panic attacks because they were treated so badly, and you'd hope they'd have figured out all their front office issues by now, but then there are reports now suggesting that the Lakers didn't really understand the salary cap ramifications of the Anthony Davis trade. And I'm thinking, this is really not good. I'd kind of be running away from LA right now. Does all of that behind the scenes front office stuff really have an effect on how LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to perform on the court?
It absolutely has an effect. And I would argue that the two teams that we saw in the finals are the best run teams in the NBA, the best front offices. And the Lakers, Magic Johnson quit because he thought that Rob Pelinka, the general manager, was trying to take his job. Now they are trying to solve their dysfunction with talent. And it's great if they can get LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and even another star, but that's not going to fill out their roster. Yeah. And let's just say, Shireen, that Kawhi Leonard does return to Toronto, like he should. They are one of the deepest teams in the NBA. I don't see a scenario, if Toronto stays intact, that the Lakers in their state will have enough to beat them. Toronto is such a dynamic, balanced, cohesive machine. I think it would be great for the NBA if they become the standard and not just another superstar collection trying to come together and put together a team.
All right. So on Thursday, news broke that the Tampa Bay Rays are exploring the possibility of splitting time with Montreal. To clarify, the Rays would play home games in both cities, which are 1,500 miles apart. Exactly how this would work is a bit of a mystery. Both cities are in need of a decent baseball venue, and the Rays are locked into St. Petersburg until 2027. On the other hand, this could be a spectacular idea. Montreal would finally get Major League Baseball back after losing the Expos in 2004. And maybe with fewer home games on the schedule, Tampa could actually fill some seats. A friend joked that they'd need to change their name to the X-Rays. Shireen, what do you think of this?
Well, I think of all my Montreal Expo friends that have prayed for the return of baseball, but not like this. Like, this is slightly bizarre to me. I get that the world is small and I'm sure there's resources to be able to do this, but it almost seems to, like, for me, kill the culture of baseball in that specific town. So much of baseball is very tied in locally as well. And I just, I'm not seeing the connection here. And also, I'm wondering what the players might think about this. Like, I have a lot of logistical questions. A lot.
Jerry, how about you?
Yeah, if you're a franchise that's in two places, you have no home. To me, Major League Baseball, one of the joys is that it's just how local it is. It feels like you're taking a family vacation across the country as you watch a baseball season. To not have 81 games in one ballpark just seems like the wrong way to go. And this is where I must apologize to Montreal, since the Expos are now the Washington Nationals, and we greatly enjoy getting to watch them. But baseball has to decide, you know, how badly do you want to be in Montreal and under what conditions? And then they also must say, can baseball in the Tampa-St. Petersburg area thrive? We have seen over the last 10 years some really good Rays baseball teams, but fans are still not coming. A decision has to be made. You can't be in halfway in two different cities.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Toronto-based sports writer Shireen Ahmed, who co-hosts the Burn It All Down podcast, and The Washington Post's Jerry Brewer. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Had a great time.